Well, thank you, Pastor, for another opportunity to open God's Word in this place. And thank you, church, for being faithful to the heart of God when it comes to revival. You know, Pastor, a few weeks ago, announced our theme, Declare the Gospel. Why? Why would Pastor choose that theme? We look around at all the pressure, the perplexities, the problems, persecution, politics, a pandemic. What does the gospel have to do with any of that? Does the gospel make a difference in any of that? As hard as it may seem, we must look at our existence beyond the next list of bills we need to pay. We must look at our existence beyond our emotional highs and lows. We must look at our existence beyond our relationships, our occupation, and even our future plans. We must focus beyond our earthly existence. I can't speak for Pastor, but behind this theme, I believe there are five motivational factors to declaring the gospel. So we start this morning in Genesis chapter 2. If you'll take your Bible and look with me at verse number 7 of Genesis and the second chapter. And we find that each of us is a created soul. In verse 7 of chapter 2, the Bible reads, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You and I are so much more than a body and a brain. God has breathed into us an eternal existence called the soul. How much time, how much thought, how much energy have you put into the caring of your soul? We put time and effort into the physical body. We think about our diet, what we're going to eat. We think about our sleeping patterns and how much rest we need. We think about getting some exercise and making sure that we stay in the best possible condition we can. We put time and effort into our minds mentally to attain the skills we need, the knowledge we need for life. But what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Only a very foolish person would neglect his soul. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, "What shall I do? I have no room to bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." A week of revival, a week of awakening is time to take inventory of our soul. And so this morning I see four unique characteristics of our created soul. First of all, I see in our text a useless dust. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Now, dirt is pretty valuable. You may not think so, but dirt is actually pretty valuable. I grew up on a farm. We loved our dirt. We took good care of our dirt. We grew things in the dirt. We were able to sell things we grew in the dirt. That dirt was pretty valuable. In fact, when my father sold our farm 50 years ago in 1970, he sold that dirt for $1,200 an acre. It was valuable dirt. But I want you to notice something in our text. God made us from the dust of the dirt. The dust of the ground. We need to recognize this morning that we have a very fragile entrance into this thing we call life. Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto thee, which am but dust and ashes." The psalmist said, "He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." I looked up dust in the dictionary. I wondered what it actually is. Dust is defined this way in the dictionary: the fine particles of matter, the particles into which something disintegrates, something worthless. Dust, it went on to say, is made up of fine particles of solid matter, which come from various sources, such as soil lifted by the wind or volcanic eruptions and pollution. Dust in our homes consists of 50% dead skin cells and the other 50% from plant pollen, human and animal hair, textile and paper fibers, and burnt meteorite particles. That's who we are. Dust. Good for nothing. In fact, we work hard at getting rid of it. You probably dusted your house sometime recently. Some are even allergic to dust. Yet it is from this dust that God formed us. A fragile entrance. And we find that this life we call so valuable to us has but a fleeting existence. Just as dust can be blown away by a gust of wind, so our life, what is it? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 18 says, "Our days on earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding." The psalmist said, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. My age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." David said, "There's but a step between me and death." A fragile entrance, a fleeting existence, and we must realize we one day have a future exit. This physical part of us is going back to dust. In Genesis 3 and verse 19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. All flesh shall perish together, and man shall live in the ground, and his spirit shall return to God who gave it." Now, while dust is useless to us, I want you to see, secondly, in this useless dust, there is a unique design. God took the dust of the ground, and he uniquely designed that which he calls man. It's interesting, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "God said, let there be light." In other words, he simply spoke and there was light. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that God made the firmament. In Genesis 1 and verse 16, God made two great lights. The greater lights rule the day, the lesser lights rule the night. He made the stars also. In Genesis 1, verse 25, God made the beasts of the field and the cattle and the creeping things. He made these things. It almost seems that he simply spoke, he simply thought, and suddenly it was there. It was created. But notice the words here in Genesis 2, for they are different when it comes to man. The Lord God formed. When God spoke, there was light. When God thought, things were made. But when it came to that sixth day and God created man, the Bible says the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. A unique design. And what a remarkable labor mankind is. Our body has 203 bones. We have 600 muscles in our body. And by the way, it takes 300 of them to be working effectively for me to walk across this stage. 970 miles of blood vessels running through our bodies, taking nutrients, oxygen, and water to the various tissues of our flesh. 600 million air cells taking air into our lungs as we breathe. 10,000 hairs inside each one of our ears, over 4,000 taste buds on our tongues, 3,500 sweat tubes for every square inch of skin on our body. We breathe in 4,200 gallons of air every day. Our heart beats 2,400 times every hour and pumps 12 tons of blood through our body every day. The mind and the body of man are indeed remarkable. I'll praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. But in a sense, the remarkableness of the labor by God in the creation of man should not surprise us. For notice also a reflecting likeness. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." After our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God made he man. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in his likeness, God made he him. This is why God places such a high premium on life. This is why life itself is so sacred. This is why life is so important. This is why God does not want us to take life. God wants us to protect life. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God made he man. To an extent, we see God in all of his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lines go out to the ends of the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by them that are made, even his eternal Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But notice in this unique design of man, God placed thirdly an uncommon deposit. In verse 7, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. An uncommon deposit. An emitted breath. This breath came from God himself into man. And through the emitted breath of God was placed into this man, this creation of man, a soul, a created soul. The sun, the moon, the stars, they have existed since the third day of creation. But they have no soul. the mountains, the oceans, the hills, the valleys, the rivers, the streams, in all of their splendor, have no soul. The birds, the fish, the animals, they have no soul. It was only in man that God placed this uncommon deposit. You see, the earth, the sky, the oceans, they are all temporal. They are here only for a time. The birds, the animals, the fish, the plants, the trees, the flowers, they are but temporal. Knowing this, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But this they are willingly ignorant of, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Wherefore the world, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Understand something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Heaven and earth shall pass away. They are temporal, but not man. Because in man, God uncommonly deposited the breath of life. And man became an eternal being. You see, physical death for the human being does not end our existence. That is why we must look beyond the temporal. We must look beyond the circumstances of our life this morning. We must look beyond the needs here and now and all of the things that concern us. We must look beyond it because we have in us an eternal soul. We are made in the image of God who is eternal. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come. And it is important that we care for the environment. It is important that we do not pollute the air or pollute the water. It is important that we take care of the animals and all of the species that God has given to us to enjoy. But none of these will last. They are temporal. But the soul is eternal, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Bob Jones Sr. was sitting in his office one day at Bob Jones College in Cleveland, Tennessee. He was sitting at his desk writing some notes. He sensed someone walking into the room. Without looking up, he said, "May I help you?" A young lady stepped forward into that room, a student at the college. She said, "Dr. Jones, I came to tell you that I'm going to kill myself." Without looking up, he said, "I'm sorry, you cannot do that." She took a step closer to the desk and said, I mean it, Dr. Jones. I'm going to commit suicide." Without looking up, he said, "I'm sorry. You can't do that." She banged her fist on the desk. She said, "Do you understand? I'm tired of living. I'm going to end it all today." At that, he placed his pen on the desk and looked up and said, "Young lady, you can't do that. You're going to live somewhere forever." And he was absolutely right. That is why the gospel is important. That is why we must bear the message of the gospel. That is why we must declare the good news. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel by which also you are saved, If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried, and how that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel is what we must declare. Nothing is as important as that. For he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Nothing else really matters. Nothing else should move us. Nothing else should motivate us. Nothing else should manipulate us. But like the apostle of old, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. Everyone has a soul. And that soul is eternal. So we see a useless dust is from whence we came. But in that useless dust, there was a unique design by our Creator. And in that unique design of man, God put an uncommon deposit called a soul, a living soul, an everlasting soul. But as we close, we see from God an unmistakable desire. Why did God give man an eternal soul? Why did he create us such? Why did he place within us something that the sun and the moon and the stars and the flowers and the oceans and the mountains do not have? Why? Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power and blessing, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. May we recognize this morning as human flesh that God deserves a proper reverence. Thou art worthy. Remember, we are dust. And all that we could boast about and all that we could claim in this life and all the successes that we might think that we've had, we are but dust and we're going back to dust. The creature is not to be worshiped. The Creator is to be worshiped. We owe him a proper reverence. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Why is it that we make excuses about the fact that, well, I can't go to church, or I can't serve God, or I can't read my Bible, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to witness? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory do I not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. We spend all of our time and all of our energy and all of our thinking on what's here, and it's all going to pass away. But he and we are eternal, a proper reverence, because God has an unmistakable desire for a perpetual relationship. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This eternal God, this eternal Creator who made you and I from dust wants a relationship with us forever. Forever. And because God created us that way, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do we declare the gospel? Because it's the only way for that eternal relationship. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Separated. A second death. Lost in their relationship with God. So God says in James 1, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Growing up as a boy, I always knew where my dad would be. At 4 a.m. in the morning, my dad would be in the barn. He'd be there till 7, milking cows. He was always there, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Never a vacation, never a day off. 4 a.m., I knew where my dad would be. He'd be in the barn from 4 to 7. At 7:30, he'd come in the house. He'd sit down in his chair by the kitchen table, always the same chair, always the same time, for breakfast. He'd eat breakfast, then he'd go back to the barn, clean the barn, feed the animals, do the chores. If there was time, perhaps a little field work before lunch, but then back to his chair for lunch at noon. Same chair, kitchen table. He'd eat lunch, and then he'd move from that chair at the table to a little rocking chair by the table where he'd take his 20-minute nap in the middle of the day. Always, every day. If I were to know where Dad was at 12:30, he's in the rocking chair, taking a nap. Be quiet. Don't disturb him. And he'd get up back to the fields. 4 p.m. back in the barn, milking till 7. Sunday morning, I knew where my dad was. He was in church. Sunday night, he's in church. Wednesday night, in church. Never missed. Never. Never. If I wanted to know where Dad was on Sunday morning, he was in church. Long after I moved out of the house, no sense calling Dad during Sunday morning service. He wasn't there. He was at church. I always knew where Dad was. On January 18th, 2003, Dad left. He's been absent these past 18 years. But I know where he is. Because one night in 1930, an evangelist by the name of Dennis Shannon stood in the pulpit of a little country church near Watertown, Wisconsin, and declared the gospel. And a 9-year-old little boy named Marvin walked down an aisle and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. My dad is absent from the body, but he is present with the Lord. Brother Weibel is absent from that door back there. I miss him. He was always there. Always that warm smile, that firm handshake, that friendly greeting. Bill Weibel's absent, but he's present with the Lord. Brother Kinsfather is absent from his chair over here to my left. We won't find him there today, but he's present with the Lord. Marta Collins will be absent from that Spanish service today. They'll miss her. But she is present with the Lord. Maxine Chapel is absent from her family today, but she is present with the Lord. Friend, one day you are going to be absent from this world. Will you be present with the Lord? Will you be present with the Lord? When the roll is called up yonder, can you say, I'll be there? You can be. You can know that. At the close of this service, you can come and someone can take the word of God and show you that when you are absent from the body, you can be present with the Lord because you have a created soul, an eternal being inside of you that God sent his Son to this earth to die for, to be buried and to rise again the third day, to conquer death so that you could live forever with him. Christian, nothing is more important than that message.